This morning we continue our series on Jesus Christ and his work. The final part, hopefully, of the biblical salvation. To be very, very sure that salvation belongs to God. And it's very, very important that we are very clear as to what salvation is. We've mentioned false hope that is given by world religions. In order to convince people, in order to attract people to them, religions have to try to give answers about the big issues of life, such as death, final abode, afterlife, where we go, etc. So, every religion is trying to bring an answer to that. Therefore, by people attending or affiliating themselves to world religion, including to some form of Christianity, it's because people believe seriously what they are being taught. Now, for someone to talk about life, death, resurrection, you have to have experience of all those three areas. Well, if someone says that after you die, you're going to be reincarnated and then come back, well, we have to see him in some form coming back and him saying, that's me. Well, you can't just leave a theory behind, you know, causing havoc and confusion. We don't know where you are. When it comes to resurrection, Jesus Christ is the only qualified to talk about death, resurrection, and life. He's the only one qualified. And he needs to be taken seriously now. He said to me, how do we know that biblical claims are the truth? My answer to that is that, okay, all the religions make claims, but they cannot all be true because they contradict each other on fundamental issues. You know, the Bible says, he who denies the Son has not the Father, and vice versa. There was a witness, public witness of Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God. In fact, he said it himself. Do you want to test your integrity against Jesus Christ? I've never seen anybody say Jesus Christ is a liar. No. He said he is the Son of God. And he said no one comes to the Father except through me. Someone say yes, but he never say only for what does accept means? Some religions say God has no son. Well, that's a fundamental contradiction. Surely they can't both be true. Either some of them are false or all of them are false. What are we left with then? We are left with evidence, which is available to everybody. So we can test the claim of each religion against evidence that is available to all. You know, death is there. We need to test. If Jesus Christ says, I am the life and the resurrection, he who live and believe in me, though he may die, will live. I am the resurrection and the life. We know that. You know, through his earthly ministry here, he raised people from the dead. Not one, many people. And then himself came back from the dead. So he is the only one qualified to talk about resurrection. Do you know what the Bible says? If we believe that Christ died and that God raised him from the dead, even so, God will bring back those who have fallen asleep in Christ. See, though, the sine qua non condition is first to establish the fact that Christ rose again. Because if he did not, Paul says we are the most miserable people because we're just spreading false hope. But then comes a shout of triumph. Praise the Lord, he did. Everywhere, nobody can deny that. Do you know that the leaders of the people in the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they spend a great sums of money to try and contain the news. That, oh, you know, go and tell people they've stolen his body, go and say he's an imposter, go, hello. But the Holy Spirit, before internet began, was there to spread the news everywhere in people's hearts. The tomb is there, Christ rose again publicly, he ascended publicly. How do we know the Bible itself is true then? We had a lot of ideas. The Bible calls that cunningly devised fables. Cunningly devised fables. A fable, do you know what it is? The most famous one is in French, Fable de la Fontaine. You know, it's a story of animals, a parody of human beings. So animals are talking, are doing things, etc. It's not a true story. It can have some application, but it's not a true story. It's animals. That's a fable. So the Bible says that this truth is not cunningly devised fable. The people who are writing, who wrote this, they lived with Christ. They touched him, they ate with him. They were eyewitness at the crucifixion. He told John, "This is your mother." They were there. The apostles say, "We were eyewitnesses. We were there when we heard the voice. This is my beloved son." They say, "We were there at the Mount of Transfiguration." They were there. And then comes independent examiners and investigators like Luke, who will independently investigate the facts, confronting the account from the eyewitnesses, checking the event, the places, the event, the dates, etc. Let me jump ahead. You know the story about the needle? It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That story is in Matthew and Mark. Both stories, both account in those two gospels. thank you very much. We'll get to those stuff afterward. Thank you very much for that. Okay. I will let you know the writer. You can leave that. That's okay. In Mark and Matthew, both of them refer to an eye of a needle, both of them. Luke 18 also refer to the same expression, an eye of a needle. But in Greek, the two are not the same. Mark and Matthew are the same. We get to that in a minute. Luke is actually referring to an actual needle, the one used by surgeons. I say this is a bit of a bias because he was a doctor. More of that in a minute. But the amount of witnesses about Jesus Christ. Now the Bible itself. Why some people say, well, if you want to believe in the Bible, that's fine. You can believe in the Bible. But we say the Bible is not true because we believe it. We believe it because it's true. Now you compare the origin of the Bible. It said in the Old Testament that God himself gave the word written on a tablet by his finger. That's what the Bible says. And he gave to Moses. That's the beginning of the word, come down. He was a big day. Blackness of night, thundering, lightning. And people were shaking. The word of God has come down. And then God began to reveal to his servant the meaning of it, etc. That's where the Bible is coming. But the first word of the Bible were written by God himself with his finger. That's the Bible we're holding. You can't compare that with any, you know, man-made fabrication and speculation. You can't. Fantasy, cunningly devised fable, cleverness stuff. The Bible calls that the basic principles of this life. Someone said to me, oh, you know what? Confucius said, we don't compare taste and colors. Isn't that great wisdom? Well, nowadays, if you go outside and you say publicly, I don't like green, you can be arrested. Now we can compare colors. But when Jesus Christ said, we are all sinners, well, you can't disprove that. So, let's pray. Loving Father, we bless you this morning once again, and we pray that, Lord, by your good, eternal, and Holy Spirit, you help us, O God, to understand your truth. We give you all the glory. Have your own way this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're talking about salvation, but not just any salvation. We're talking about the biblical salvation. The text we read the other time was from Acts 16, from verse 30 to verse 34. We'll have about two or three readings today. So that's Acts chapter 16, verse 30 to verse 34. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Verse 34. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. I said before that because of this passage, some people have concluded that everybody in that household was baptized. Baby, cat, rat, mice, everybody, chicken, rabbit, everybody was baptized. Because, you know, this day they are Christian dogs. You know, it was a church where people were sharing the Lord's Supper, and there was someone on the back giving a little bit to the dog because it's a Christian dog. See, these things can go all over the place. You know, when people pray and worship, they can't get rid of the cat. The cat is part of the worship, you know, because let everybody that has breath praise the Lord. You know, so we don't know exactly what being Christian means these days. And you've got to be careful when people speak about a Christian family. You got to assess what they're talking about. But clearly here, the word of God was shared with those people. They received the word of God. They accept. Then they were baptized. The word of God. The gospel of the salvation, which is the power of God unto whoever believes. That's a very good illustration of what salvation means. One cannot just have always been a believer. You know, when did you become a believer? Now, we've been praying with my dad all the time. When did you become a believer? Well, I grew up in this church. Well, That's a very poor spiritual CV. There has to be a starting point. Whether parents are believers or not, you will stand before God to give an account for yourself. It's been said God knows no grandchildren. In John chapter 11, verse 20 to 25, John chapter 11, verse 20 to 25, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother, that's Lazarus, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And there is a question, do you believe this? That's quite a statement. That's quite a claim. I am the resurrection. Billions of people are dying. One person is taking responsibility to tell the whole world, I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, though they may die physically, will live eternally. That's quite a claim to be tested. This week has been a very busy week for us as a church. People have been here on Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and today, and in between a lot of meetings, you know, preparation of gatherings and Thanksgiving service, Messianic Testimony Rally, a lot of it. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord reward you. I am very blessed to see that people can so selflessly commit to working. Many of you have your own work and family. Other people took days off. Other people, blessed be the Lord. May the Lord reward you openly. Let's continue to serve the Lord. No excuse. Trust me. If you put a party or a dinner every day, 8 o'clock, you will see everybody coming. But when it comes to God, people are very... all sort of excuses. Do you remember? I'm going to bury my father. Remember in the Bible? The Lord said, no. You've got to set priorities in life. Let me provoke you a little bit. I know people don't like this because people get very scared of this. Okay, let me talk about myself, yeah? Because you may think I'm prophesying on you since you like, you want to live. Well, if I die and nobody comes at my Thanksgiving service, is that good? Okay, now you can think about yourself because it's a bit selfish, isn't it, yeah? Your family want to be happy. You want people to come and remember you. You want to know that the place you've served, those things are happening, and people don't turn up. What can make people turn up as a body? Prayer? No. We need to insist, as all I did. Even prayer, we need to insist. We need to give reason. We need to force les gens. Force. So, this brother here, you have this there, you can pick up this leaflet for free. Has been with us here. That's his place there. That cushion you see is the place he used to sit there. He was baptized here in October 1952, in this church here. Anyone knows Christopher Wren? Anyone? Yeah? Okay. is the build of the St. Paul Cathedral. It's been said, if you want to know anything about this man, look around. That's what is written there. You want to know about this man, look around. It's done quite a lot of work. He's gone. The legacy lives on. On Friday, we saw some of his trophies. Trophies. Here. About 70 plus years, man. A very serious pastor. He's doing a lot of good job in Cambridge. But he came to Christ through the ministry of this man. The Bible says, blessed are those who die in Christ. Their labor is following them. On that day, the work of everyone will be revealed. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Your work will be revealed on that day. Remember what I told you? Some people get in heaven and they are lost, you know. There's no one to greet them. They never brought anybody to cry. They never prayed for anybody. They just lost. They're lonely and sad in heaven. You know, and other people are having people coming from everywhere. Hello, but I don't know you now. You support mission. You know, I will save through your prayer. I will save through this. But oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And somehow they just lost. They don't know what to do. They're embarrassed in the presence of the Lord in heaven. Serve the Lord. What about the rewards? Some people will have a crown. Some people will shine like stars for teaching many people the righteousness of God. They will shine like stars. And there will be a crown. And some people will have nothing. Do you know what the Bible says? Save like burned. You know when someone is burned? You know the firefighters are there. Jump, jump. And you jump in the net naked because you've lost everything. And you're just in heaven with nothing, no crown, no reward. You're just there happy. Okay, I've just made it. Serve the Lord. Be partner with the Lord in his plan to save mankind and to build up his church. That's what we celebrate, the life of this man. And we learn a lot. It was a good opportunity to talk about death. People don't like talking about death, in particular in this generation here. You know, at home, sometimes I have called and I said to one of our daughters, make me a tea, please, because there's so many bags of tea. Now, I've got quite a lot of ladies in my house. So everyone has his own tea. The whole cupboard is full of teas. I don't know, you know. I said, make me a cup of tea. They say, which one? I said, the one that makes me live eternally. Because that's what people believe today. Tea will keep you going. You will become young forever. And tea, and they say, yeah, make me one. I want one of those. Well, we ask a question on Friday. How would you like to be remembered after you die? Okay, you seem to love that topic. Yes. Give that scare. Praise the Lord if I can achieve to scare you this morning. John the Baptist said, who has taught you to flee the wrath to come? You see, that kind of God, you know, God is gentle, don't scare people, Jesus is good. That's what is just complicating things. You can't be talking, you can't see your child crossing the road and you say, that's fine, come, you jump yourself. You're ready to be hit by the car to save your child. Pulling people from fire, we're talking about serious stuff here. Why? If you want me to be telling you how good you are, how beautiful you are, I'm probably the wrong person for that. Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And he calls himself wretched that I am. Well, if Paul calls himself wretched, I can say you are the most beautiful person, in particular with regard to God. How would you like to be remembered? Would you like to be remembered as a rich person? As the smartest person? As the most notorious enemy of God? You, probably all Christians here, I say probably because I don't take it for granted, probably. But when I say this on Friday, I knew there were people who were not saved when I asked this question. I knew there were people who attended the service who are blasphemers, have no regard, no respect for God. And then I say, would you like to be remembered as the most notorious enemy blasphemer? Or would you like to be remembered as a humble lover of God? A sinner forgiven, saved by the blood of Christ. How would you like to be remembered? But you see, I'm not a clever person by any standard. I just want to be remembered as a Christian. That's enough for me. That's all I want to be remembered. As someone who loved Christ. I've told this superstar, that's the only thing. I'm not a clever person. I'm not a rich person. I have nothing. My reputation is Christ. That's it. That's enough. If you remember, Brother Guy, Christ, that's enough. How would you like to be remembered? And what do you do about it? Be very careful. I told you 2 weeks ago on WhatsApp, there's been a lot of videos going around viral about people dying of cardiac arrest. Okay, we're supporting Christian Institute, but the national director of Christian Institute, Colin, died of a cardiac arrest suddenly. I don't think he was the worst Christian. To the contrary, his legacy is so huge. But he's gone one day, unexpectedly. I've seen a live video of a pastor standing and preaching the way I'm preaching here, with an interpreter there, translator there. He said, our way of life is the Bible and nothing else. And he collapsed there, gone. And everybody will. Gone. The wicked goes, the righteous go. The younger go, the oldest go. So don't think things will continue like that all the time, all the time. I've said so many times, better said by Charles Spurgeon, there is an appointment that no one wants, but everybody must keep it, and it's called death. And the Bible says it is appointed for man to die once. After this, the judgment. These are serious stuff. It can't be business as usual all the time. You hear the gospel and then you despise it and you continue as if now. And those videos were quite a lot of them going around. And then there were people advising people, you know, what you should do if you don't want that to come. Well, a few years ago, there was a man called Fabrice Muamba. Who remembers? Fabrice Muamba was a football player in the professional league here. In the very football match, he collapsed. But that was a very healthy, healthy man, more than the average of us here. How can someone collapse, a so healthy person? He did not die. It wasn't his day. I'm just trying to tell you that tomorrow does not belong to you. Make sure that you make peace with God. It can't be business as usual. Think about those things. Now, in the world religions, you hear something like, whether in Catholicism, in Islam, in other world religion, you hear something like, oh, it's really arrogance to say that one can know for sure that you are saved. In other words, we just need to be, to live in that expectance and confusion. We don't know who is safe, who is not safe. We're gonna see at the end, you know, we're gonna sort out what happened. That's not what the Bible says. When I've spoken to Muslims, when I was still a bit wiser many years ago, whether Catholic or Muslim or world religions, Jehovah Witnesses, even Mormons sometimes, I've quoted just this very simple verse here. Well, I've never seen anybody to disprove that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I have written these things to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Certainty. You've given your life to Christ. Christ lives in you. You are saved. Now listen. Eternal life has already started for you. Hell has not started yet. Because God is so long-suffering. Until someone closes his eyes and dies, God will do all it takes to save that person. So hell is not in operation yet. But eternal life you have already. You don't see the fullness of it. You have a bit of joy in praising the Lord in his presence, but the fullness will come. Then we will understand a good reason. You know, some people, you know, 2 hours is already boring, but eternity, just singing the blood of Jesus eternally, I can't. No. Those are the things that have not mounted right to the heart of man. Nothing. John was saying things he couldn't explain, because you cannot explain with human speech. He had to find some comparison. I saw like a river of crystal, a crystal key. I saw like, because those things you cannot explain. Paul, in his vision of the third heaven, said, I heard the things that are not permitted for man to utter. You cannot explain. You love food, you love holiday, isn't it? In particular, the river, the blue ocean, etc. You love them, you just stand there and pay £1,000 to go and stand and look at the ocean. Very beautiful. But God made it, and you're saying that you're going to be bored in heaven? No. You like marriage, isn't it? Your wife and your husband, you like marriage, isn't it? It's God's idea. You like wine. It's God's idea. And you saying you want to be bored in the Lord? He has more ideas. You will discover in heaven. So, I have written these things to you who believe in the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And in knowing that you have eternal life, you might continue to believe. You see, those who are in Christ, it's not weekly life. It's not fortnightly. It's called eternal life. Are you taking God seriously or not? It's eternal life. Do you think God is like you and I? In particular, men who tell young lady, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then after a few years, oh, you are a curse, you are a sorcerer, you know, you are a curse, you've disturbed my life. You know, this someone has been saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And now the wife has become a sorcerer and a curse. God is serious. It's not like that. When he say, I give you eternal life, it is eternal life. Do you see the problem we're having? Is we've come up with our own word, you know. They are in the Bible, but we come with a wrong understanding of backsliding. Backsliding or backsliding? Backsliding. My English is backsliding. But the Bible says, my righteous will fall 7 times he rise. The backsliding just means, in Burundi, they have an expression. They say, glisse. Sliding? Sliding. Okay, English. Okay. They say someone slid. Because they know he's not going to stay there. He's safe, slid, stand up, and continue. That's what we call backsliding. Backsliding doesn't mean you lose salvation. No, you were never saved in the first place. If you stay there, you know, like a pork, you start enjoying, you know, mud, you were never saved. Because a sheep is clean. A sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and follow, and the sheep will by no means follow a stranger. Listen to this. Even the idea of the shepherd itself, we in the West, we're struggling to understand all those things. When you read the Lord is my shepherd, you know, go in those places, Israel, Middle East, you will understand what it means. Listen to this story. Some people trying to understand John 10 went and did an experiment in the Middle East. There was a man, a shepherd, who had so many shepherds, so many sheep. What they did, they took someone else who was not the shepherd, and they put the shepherd garment on him. Because the sheep, they knew the color, they knew the way it walked, they knew the smell of him, because he smelled like them almost. They knew that. So they put that garment. And that fake shepherd stood there. And all the sheep came. They came and they stood there. Yes, the smell, the color of the garment, it's him. The smell is the same, but we're just waiting. Because usually the shepherd will say something and they will know that, let's go. Just by saying something. So they were waiting. What he's going to say? Yes, the clothing is the same. The smell is the same. We're just waiting for the voice. When he tried to say something, they fled. They recognized. Do you understand what it means? Well, we have a lot of parody and false Christ, false teaching everywhere. You know, people coming in the name of Christ, false pastors, you know, etc., etc. And people are just following them. Well, they're posing as Christ's servants. That's like having a garment of the shepherd. But the true sheep waits to hear what comes out of their mouth. And they will know that's not of Christ. And they will flee away. But there are people. The pastor is lying. You know, this day people like prophets in particular because it gives them a special status. You know, and people are, yeah, come on, go on. And he's lying and he's lying. No? I told you that man, a false pastor who was lying to the congregation. People don't even listen what he's saying. Because whenever he says something, everybody go, amen. He says something, yes, we agree. Oh, they keep on saying, nobody even listen what he's saying. And he keep on talking and lying to them. And when he finished, he said, let's praise the Lord. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your... This is someone who has been lying for 2 hours. And now telling God, as the song says, take joy. Lord, take joy of what I've been said. Well, I think twice when I hear those kind of things. Take joy for lying people. Got to be careful. The Bible says in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. That's the whole point. There was the fall after disobeying. There was that fall of the whole humankind. And the Lord so loved the world because God could have just restarted everything. It's easy for God. But God so loved the world. I have created humans. I love them. My plan is to live with them eternally. I'm going to do something like this. Something about this situation. So that I can resume my plan to live with them eternally. But this time, it has to be done on a voluntary basis. You have to consent Because God doesn't want rebellious people. You have to consent. That's how we come on an individual basis. Lord, I accept you. I receive you. I want your eternal life. Tick. Okay, let's go. And in the end, those who would have rejected that, well, we roast in hell. Well, that might be politically incorrect, but it's not my word. That's what the Bible says. But you know what? Hell was not created for humans. The Bible says it was created for the devil and his angel. How can people possibly suggest that some people were created to never be saved? No. Hell was created for the devil and his angel. Whoever believes in Christ will be saved. Whoever. Regardless of your social status, the level of your bank balance, it's irrelevant. Your background is irrelevant. Your looking, irrelevant. Academic credentials, irrelevant. Only by grace can we enter. Everybody, the same term. Nobody will say, God, you discriminate against me. Think about the day of the judgment of God. If you don't receive Christ, everybody will be judged according to the things written in books. That includes the number of times you've been given the opportunity to give your life to Christ, and you have rejected. On that day, you will give an account. We read in John 1, 12, 13, but as many as received him, to them he has given the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, God desires all men to be saved. All, that's God's desire. But you must be born again. Being born again means being born of God. You cannot fake God. You cannot make a decision on becoming Christian. Well, you can come into the church, you know, to please your spouse, your wife, your husband, to make them feel good. But God knows. Remember what the Bible says? At the time of the rapture, two people in bed, God will take one, the one he knows. The other one will stay there snoring. It's not 50-50. No. Some people believe that their children are automatically Christians because they are Christian. That's not true. That's the reason why parents are depressing these days. Because they try to convince themselves that their children are saved. When they see the children start going astray like this, they're depressed because they convinced themselves that their children were saved. Rather than praying for them, teaching them the word of God, telling them the danger that is ahead in the most serious way. Now you let them just go and let's just pray, let's do this. And then when they start behaving in a very funny way, you start complaining because you've let it too late. You go to start. Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I am really at peace in my heart because these people here, they've heard that millions of times. I will see evidence that you are Christian in years to come. Under my roof, I do what I have to do here. But whether you're Christian or not, it will become apparent in the future. Because all the people who fill the House of Parliament, they've all been to assemblies, Sunday school. Many of them are blasphemers now. So just praying at home, reading the Bible, is not a guarantee that your children are saved. I'm sorry to tell you that. Well, if you feel my children are so beautiful, your children are so beautiful, they are saved. Wait. Surprises may be coming your way. But God is faithful. Pray for them. Pray for their future. Preach them the word of God in a most serious way. Do you remember that man told you the story? I asked that brother, oh, how is the house fellowship doing? scratched his head and said to me, Debrad, I'm really sorry. I have to confess that I've been very busy with witnessing in Hyde Park Corner. Oh, I said, okay, that's really good. So you're doing the Lord ministry in Hyde Park Corner to save people while your own children are going to hell. They have a unique opportunity to have a godly parent there, and they go to hell right in front of you. And you say, I'm busy witnessing public and taking video yourself to show how beautiful you are. What kind of reasoning is that? Biblical salvation. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Why? Because salvation is simply impossible without God. No one can save himself. No one. A baby cannot come to the world themselves. They cannot deliver themselves. They can't even give a name themselves. God. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And that is the working of God. To become a child, in a physical sense, one must be born again. So also to become a child of God, one must have a second birth. This is known as the new birth or being saved. The Bible tells us three ways by which the new birth cannot take place. I've just read those for you. Not by the will of man, not by blood, it must be by God. You must be born of God. Nobody can decree you. However much they love you, however lovely you think you are, you must humble before God. Ask forgiveness, ask for his salvation, eternal life. He receives you, you are saved, and the seal on you is his Holy Spirit. And your love, your response to him is the change that happened. It's called repentance. Show by your deed that your life has changed. There must be evidence of salvation. It can't be business as usual. So, let's move to what I think will be the last reading. How does the new birth take place then? Please turn with me, Matthew chapter 19. It's very encouraging today. Nobody's sleeping. That's really good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew 19. And we're reading from verse 16 to verse 26. Matthew 19, verse 16 to verse 26. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Then Jesus said to his disciple, "Assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Okay, let me read on. When the disciple heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." You see, this is a serious stuff. Salvation is impossible without God. That's what Christ is teaching here. He's not saying that it's impossible for rich people to go to heaven. No. He's saying that salvation is impossible for men. But what is impossible for men, it's possible to God. That is. You see, you look at some people, you know, the kind of life they live, you think it's almost hopeless. You think of yourself, if I was God, this person won't be even in the spectrum of potential candidates to heaven because of the kind of life they live. But it doesn't work like that with God. No one is impenetrable by God's grace. No one. Murder, prostitute, killers, robbers, everybody can be saved. It's impossible for man, but all things are possible to God. So long as someone is still breathing, pray for them, witness to them, God can save anybody. It's the working of God. Impossible to man, possible to God. So the young man in this reading here thought he had kept all the commandments. Notice the way the Lord put it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the last of the five the Lord has quoted there. He said you should love your neighbor as yourself. But remember, the man has said, "I've kept all the commandments since my youth." And the Lord is putting intentionally that commandment to make him think, you should love your neighbor as yourself. "Well, I've kept everything." Okay, that's fine. "Go and sell your possession. Come and follow me." The Bible says, "Well, sorrowful." He was so sorrowful because he had, you know, if he was me, it is, I don't have many possessions. But for a rich person like that one, if he do what? "Well, I've worked all my life for this, you know, shares in London Stock Exchange, and he could give away everything." No, I can give a little bit, you know. He failed the test. He had so many poor, and that's a lesson for Christians. You can't just be accumulating wealth for yourself and, you know, people are suffering around you. It's all about you. I'm the winner. God say, "I will be the head and not the tail." It's just for yourself. The Bible say, stock up the treasure in heaven. Love your neighbor. Care for people around you. Unfortunately, Christianity today is all about material now. No? Including those who are stealing, you know, the crooked people, everybody's just taking money anyway. I'm blessed. So people like me who are not rich, we are not blessed. That's not true. The kind of blessing we have in the heavenly places, and believers don't even have access to them. Okay. Now we can turn to finish. We can look at the slides now. What do we have? Let's see the first one. Okay, the next. Okay, that's the one. So we've been talking about, you see, this thing about an eye of the needle. Quite often, people just think of the sewing, you know, needle. You know, but that's what it is. You see, to enter the city where the big market was, people had to use that big gate you see there. It's the gate to the city for the market to sell their goods. But sometimes the caravan, the traders, will arrive late, after it's dark, late. There won't be a possibility. The city is closed, is secured by the guard. And they will tell them all that is left is that little door that is there. It's called the Eye of a Needle. Wow, that's hard. But they are desperate because they need to be inside to start trading in the morning. The alternative is to go back. You know, the alternative of the caravan, the other option would be to go back and to come back tomorrow. Oh, that's too hard. The journey is so long. They have to do something on that night to make sure that they can start trading the next day. But it's so hard. First of all, they need to unload the camel. You see, the camel can have a lot of loads. They need to do that. It's one person, the owner, who has to do that. And then, that camel you see is unloaded. A camel can be of any size, I can tell you. That may be a baby or a toddler. They can be very big. Now, the camel had to approach that highlighted small needle there, eye of a needle there, try to enter. It is the owner who is making an effort to make sure that the camel goes inside. The camel must kneel down to enter. There's no other way. And then once they pass that small door, the owner needs to load again everything. That's not the end of the story. As they enter inside there, access to the seat, there are stairs there. Now the camel must climb stairs again. How do they do that? And then walk to go there. Now, all that hardship, the Lord said, it is easier for the camel to enter there than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Number one, the rich person must kneel down and humble before God. Number two, there has to be an external agent who will remove the burden of sin. God has sovereignly, highly exalted that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Christ is the Lord. The rich people, they put their trust in their riches. The idea that they can stop trusting their riches and trust God, they cannot even begin to think that. That way is difficult but not impossible. I say there will be many rich people in heaven. Oh, what's next? And there will be many poor people in hell. Because they are very poor people who are very, very irreverent with God and blaspheme, very bitter with God. Heaven is not guaranteed just because you are poor. Both materially poor, materially rich people, both of them must become poor in spirit. Ah, now they can enter. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who humble themselves before God. Those ones, the kingdom of heaven is for them. What else do we have there? We can pass that. By the way, you can have those slides if you want them. Just let me know. We'll be happy to send them. Oh, yes, we've said that already. Oh. Why a rich man can't enter into heaven? No, I say, a rich man can enter heaven as well. You know? I've already said that. We'll have rich people in heaven and poor people in there, etc. Oh, now the problem. It's difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's even harder for a rich man to say that. But it is impossible to inherit the kingdom of God with good work. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. one must be perfect. The condition to enter heaven is to be perfect. That's what Christ teaches here. He said, go, say the opposite, do everything, you'll be perfect. In other words, to enter heaven, you must be perfect, and no one is perfect. Christ is perfect. And he becomes our righteousness before God. In him, we can be received of God. Next. Next. You say that. Good. Questions. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you ever confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? Have you ever repented seriously of your sins and asked God to forgive you and to give you eternal life? Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever prayed for God to make you the kind of person he wants you to become? If not, then do you want to believe in him and to be born again, born of God, in order to be saved? Well, we give you the opportunity now. And as we're going to, is there anything else? It's the last. Thank you. As we're closing the service with this song here, I pray that you sing from your heart. Do not say you were not given an opportunity if you hear. If you're still doubting whether you are saved or not, you're probably not saved. Because in Romans 8 verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. No doubt, no mistake. If you're still doubting, probably you're not saved. An opportunity is given you this afternoon here to make peace with God, to be reconciled with God. Let's stand together, sing from your heart that song, and then we will close in prayer.